Good morning. God is good. Oh my goodness, this is going to be a long sermon. God is good.
All the time.
Very good. Thank you so much. I come from a when I was raised in Guatemala for about 13 years, I come from a Pentecostal background. So I love it when people participate. Translation. If you don't participate, I'm going to speak for a long time. Okay, so it's not a threat, it's a promise. It is my privilege to be here. My name is Danny Martinez. I have the pleasure to serve as your superintendent. And some of you may not even know what that is. And the Central Conference and the Evangelical Covenant Church. And I will tell you a little bit about that. But I got to tell you, what a beautiful band you have. I don't know if you really understand how blessed you are. I travel quite a bit. And there's not always a quality band. I don't want to say they're not quality, but this was higher quality. And so thank you for your ministry and thank you for putting the effort that you put in. So especially thanks to you, Megan. And I got to tell you that I'm a big fan of your pastor. You have an incredible pastor. I wish that would have been a little bit stronger, but yeah, we'll take that. Pastor Mike is a man of integrity, he's a man of God, he's a man of vision, and I just really like him. I like his family. I like what he brings to our conference. So thank you for your ministry, Pastor Mike. The Central Conference, go on the next one, please, is 111 churches. If you go on the next slide, please. There's the next slide, I promise. There we go. 111 churches, and this used to be our old logo, which you could see, you know, a couple of places. Go on the next one. And this is our brand new logo, and it shows the rural church, it shows the urban church, the suburban church, and what a wonderful place to be. We are in 5 different states: Illinois, Indiana, Missouri, or Missouri, depending where you're, you know, what part you're in, Michigan and Wisconsin. We have the UP. I didn't know what that was till I moved here again. They said, "Are you?" So I said, "You know, it says we have the OOP of Michigan or UP." And I go, "What's the UP?" And they go, "Yeah, don't call it that. Yeah, it's the UP." And I'm like, "Okay, there's no periods there." So anyway, go on to the next one, please. We are creating a brand new website because our goal for this coming year is to train lay leaders. We believe that lay leaders hold the key to not only a good and healthy church, because we leave everything on the pastor, right? The pastor will do it. But we believe that God has placed good people here. My motto is, you are in the right place at the right time for the right purpose. Only 3 people believe that. Okay, there we go. So we're creating a website. Go on to the next one. People keep calling my office saying, "Since when did Antonio Banderas become our superintendent?" Only the Latinos are laughing. Everybody else is going, "Who's Antonio?" Some of you have not been watching Shrek lately, so you can go and watch that. And the more you laugh, the faster I go, by the way. Okay. Let me introduce you to our staff. Go on to the next one. Oh, you already did. Thank you. Meet the staff. This is our, you know, we have 111 churches and only 3.5 full-time positions. We have 5 people there, but we have 2 that share a position. And I got to tell you, God has been moving powerfully through these people. Debbie has, she was the director of ministries before. She's led Mercy, Do Justice initiatives. She has been key to our conference for over 10 years. She'll be retiring next year, only something about turning 42 or something like that. And so she wants to retire. She wants to retire. Like she can retire from the Lord's service, right? She will continue to do what she does, but she just won't get paid for it. She has been an amazing gift to us. Make sure that you say hi to Debbie. Debbie is someone that you should know. We also have in the middle Patty Shepherd, who is our manager. And then we have Jill Lind, who does congregational care, because part of what we do as a conference is we care for your pastor. And we care for the congregation as well. So if we don't have that kind of investment, it's kind of difficult for a church. I don't know if you noticed, but the church overall has gotten older. We are not attracting as many young people as we could or as we should or we would like. So we walk with churches to revitalize. There's a part from church planting all the way to revitalizing churches. And there's where Peter Schoblum, the giant in the picture, compared to me anyway. I look like one of his legs. Peter has been the guru, and you know Peter. He's been here at Broadway. Peter has been a man of God and someone that has helped our conference move along as well. So I'm very fortunate to be able to do my job, which is to visit people, to encourage people, to love people, because I've been in this church. This is like my fifth visit already, but never on a Sunday morning. So what a pleasure to meet you, and what a pleasure for me to be able to give you a little bit of what the Word of God is saying to me. Now, go on to the next one. The covenant ethos is not one particular worship style, but it is a mosaic. And what I mean by that is that every week is different. This is my 76th church that I'm visiting out of 111. I just finished my second year, so I'm in my third year now, and I still have a long way to go. But I promise I will visit every single church at one point. And the reason that I want to do that is because as a Latino, I don't know if you noticed, I'm Latino. Some people thought I was Irish, but I am Latino. Yeah, or Swedish. I get that a lot. Martinez Borg. Yeah, something like that. And, I'm limited by not knowing people. If I know you, then we can have a relationship. And hopefully you get that message from me today, because we need to develop more relationships, not less. This is where you say, hallelujah, amen. Hit a neighbor, something. Okay. The covenant ethos as well is, at the UP, I was invited to do a men's retreat. Anybody was at that men's retreat a couple of years ago? No. First of all, it was still in March, and the lake was frozen. And I get there, and I have my shoes. I don't have boots because Chicago stopped snowing already. And then I get there, and they're like, oh, Pastor, you need boots. And they said, we would like for you to participate something with the men on Saturday on your afternoon off. And I go, what do you want me to do? They're like, we want you to go polar freeze dip or something like that. And I'm like, that sounds like ice cream. I'm in. They're like, oh, no, it's not ice cream. We go to the lake. I go, okay, that doesn't sound fun at all. Isn't it frozen? Yeah, but we open a hole on the ice, and I'm like, really? I'm like, I don't really fish. They're like, oh, it's not for fishing. We jump in. Why? They're like, because it's fun. I'm like, you and I have very different concepts of fun. But is Latinos don't jump on frozen lakes. We don't swim with the sharks. We don't jump from perfectly working airplanes. Yeah, my extreme sport is getting stopped by the Rockford police on the way here. Okay. Very good. Now, and the nice thing about this is then you go to a Latina church. In the Latina church, you lose 10 pounds during the worship. Because they're dancing the whole time. And you're like, oh, okay. So I guess you got to do that, right? And there are some other churches where I guess it's not permitted to use your hands because they're just like, in lock position. Some people kind of raise their hands a little bit too, like they have rubber bands, you know. You know what I mean, right? Some of you should be saying amen. I saw some of you, okay? But anyway, then you go to an African American church and then you gain 10 pounds after the service because of the great food. What a wonderful schizophrenic conference we are, where we are one. We are one. Jesus said something about that, right? Yeah? Okay, go on to the next one. We are better together. So the Word of God, if you go on to the next one, it's one verse for now. And the verse, I had the opportunity to lead worship at CHIC 1997. Yeah, I think. We taught this song, and the song goes, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, I know the plans I have for you. Beautiful song, right? And you know what? As Christians, we like romantic verses like that. They're like, oh my God, it's so special. God loves me so much. He has plans for me, right? But I don't bother to read the rest of the verse, or the rest of the chapter. You know, as Bible students, we need to read the scripture before and after. And if you don't get that, then you read the whole chapter. And if you don't get that, then you read the whole book. And then if you read the whole Bible. One of the things that is really important about this verse is the context, right? And the other verse that I kind of like make fun of a little bit is in Philippians 4:13. What does Philippians 4:13 say? I can do all things through Christ that what? They give me strength. And I see people in marathons doing that. You know, running because they can do all things through Christ that give them strength. And I'm like, oh, Señor. Yeah, the Latino comes out. And I go, well, the Lord go with you because I won't in the marathon. I know it's a surprise to some of you. But here, if you go on the next one, this is the context of Israel. Israel had fallen on very difficult times. The wall had been destroyed, so there was no security. They had been desolated. They had been decimated. And for some of us, we don't quite understand what the concept was because it's just not something that happens today in the same way. So what happened was the Babylonians came, destroyed the wall so that they destroyed their main security, right? The Jews always felt strongly about the temple and about their wall, because if they can go through the wall, nothing will go to them. And if the temple is there, God is with them, right? That's why the temple was eventually destroyed several times. The Babylonians came and listened to this point, which it really hit me when I got it. The Babylonians took everything and everyone they felt was of value. Let me say that again. They took everything they thought was valuable. So who did they take? They took the royalty. They took the rich. They took the educated. And they took the good looking. Or those they thought were good looking. I don't think I would have made the cut. Many of us wouldn't have. Not only are you left with no walls to secure your city, now you're left rejected. Rejection is a horrible thing. Israel was in a really bad space, and their constant prayer was, Lord, return us home. So those that were left, they were left rejected. Those that were taken away, several miles away, they were pleading to God, please return us. It was so much that one of the prophets felt so bad for the people because morale was so bad. His name was Amasiah in 2 Chronicles. And he came to the people and he said, hey, Israel, good news. God is breaking the yoke of slavery and he's bringing people back home. The problem with that was that God never said that. God's people, we got to be careful how we encourage people without when God has not said so. So Isaiah was served with the task to go, hey, go correct this guy. So Isaiah goes, brother Messiah, thank goodness for your prophecy, but let me tell you what the Lord is saying to me. He's saying, you have broken a yoke of wood and you built one of iron instead. 70 years. Now, 70 years meant that most of them would not be returning home. 70 years would mean that only their children would get to be home. And if you didn't have children, you know, it was prohibited before to mate or to find a spouse that was not a Jew. So you're very limited. So let's go on the next slide and let's read the whole scripture so that we can understand it. This is verse 4, same chapter, Jeremiah 29. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I've carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses. What? Build houses? By the way, who's taking credit for taking them into exile? Who? God is. He's giving himself credit. That's not Christianity today. Christianity, when something goes bad for us, we blame the devil. Yeah, you've heard it, right? The devil is a liar. He is, but he's not always at fault. Sometimes I make dumb decisions. I'm the only one, apparently. No one said amen. I'm the only sinner here today. Sometimes I do dumb things, and I don't want to suffer the consequences. Oh, I feel so lonely. Sometimes we blame others for our own choices. But God says, no, I took you there. I'm taking responsibility for that. Build houses and settle down. How long does it take to build a house? So that's already confusing, right? Because I want to go home. I don't want to build a house here. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Marry? This would become a multicultural mess. You know who sons and daughters those became? The mixture of Jewish and Babylonian became the Samaritans. You've heard of them, right? John chapter 4. I remember Jesus going, wanted to go through Samaria, and the Samaritans did not want to let him through. And the disciples, they were so holy. They said, Lord, should we bring down fire from heaven? I could picture, you know why I use humor in my sermon? Because I think Jesus had a sense of humor. That's the only way he could have put up with the disciples. I'm sure he saw them like a tired dad or a mad mom. You know what I mean? Really? You want to bring fire down from heaven on them? And let's continue reading. Find wives, daughters, increasing number, do not decrease. Also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty says. The God of Israel, do not let the prophets, listen, and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. You know, the problem with Christians is that sometimes we lack the maturity to know who to listen to. We listen to people that think like us, that are like us, that vote like us. I think that was E minor. We like the people that we like. And we don't get out of our comfort zone because it's uncomfortable. I don't even go camping. I go to Covenant Harbor because they have a hotel. Otherwise, I wouldn't go. I have my own suite. It's called Snub Harbor. It's one of the perks of being superintendent. And I have like 7 beds in there. I don't know why I have so many. To bring my whole band, I guess. The thing is that we encourage people to tell us sometimes what we want to hear. I didn't realize being a Christian was so difficult or so complicated. You mean I actually have to rely on God? And I actually have to rely on His Word? And on prayer? And on being in touch with Him? Oh, I don't know if I like that. I want to go to church when I feel like it, when it's not too cold or not too hot. I want to participate in what I like, not necessarily what I'm called to do. Verse 9, they're prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. So Christian maturity is about listening to people that love you, that care for you, that are willing to tell you the truth in love. I see this here. I love this. This is one of my first verses in John. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Who is the truth? But why is it that we don't like the truth? Are we really fans of the truth? We say we are. But when we're challenged or confronted, we don't really like it that much. Go on the next one, please. God has a good plan for us. Can someone say amen and claim that, please, this morning? God plans to bring us hope and a future. Those are very important things. Hope and a future. There's people that are trying to find what you have very comfortably, by the way. You're doing that well. Broadway is a good church. It's a healthy church, healthy preaching, missional, cares for others. It's involving the community. Praise God for Broadway. But there's other people out there in Rockford that do not have what Broadway has. Hope and a future. So if you look at people in their style, in their lifestyle now, they're trying to look for God, not for God. They're trying to fill a void in their hearts through sexuality or through partying or through drugs or through anything else. Money has always been a good numb solution to that. There are people that are looking for what you have, Broadway Covenant Church, and we just need to share it better. We do have enough space for a few other people, right? My hope is that you start a second service yourselves, and maybe a third. Sorry, Mike. Mike is going, hey, don't give him idea. Orale. You speak Spanish now. Orale, don't do that. Wow. And you said that really well, by the way, the name of the church. I'm like, I almost prophesied and translated for you. Are we aligned for His purpose? Are you aligned to God's purpose? Look at the way that you pray. It amazes me that we pray like God is Santa Claus. Lord, give me. Lord, give me. Give me more. Let me do it in Spanish. Perdonen que no estoy hablando en español, pero no me dieron suficiente tiempo para traducir. Señor, dame. Y cuando termines de dame, dame más. Some of you are going, oh God, what is that? Is that Swedish? No, that's not Swedish. And that just 10 seconds of discomfort for you, sometimes it's a lifetime to other people that don't speak the language. I forgot where I was. Where was I, Pastor Mike? You're the theologian. God is not Santa Claus. Thank you. So the way that we pray, right? We go like, give me and give me and give me more. God is not a genie. We live in the microwave society. You know what that is, right? Do you remember the dinners we used to do, the TV dinners? And then you had to kind of poke it out of the serial killer kind of thing. And then you put it in the microwave, and it was 4 minutes. It was the longest 4 minutes ever lived in the history of the life, right? And then when you took it out, it was too hot to eat. You had to wait for it to cool down. That's who we are. We say, God, give me, I need this now. Where is it? And if it doesn't come right away, we don't like it. If it doesn't come right away, we question our faith. God always answers prayers. Sometimes He says no. I wish I could read those lines from here so I didn't have to climb up. Okay, here we go. Are we prepared? Are we praying? So how did the disciples go up to Jesus and go, Lord, can you teach us how to pray? These were grown men that grew up in the synagogue, and they didn't know how to pray. Well, they didn't really feel connected to God. So Jesus goes, okay, well, praise God first, right? Your Father. He starts with our Father, right? Can you say that with me? Our Father. That means it's your Father, but it's mine too. You know how the American way would be? My Father. I'm going to do this until you start doing that yourself. If you don't know what that is, it's called hooping. It's something from the African American church. My Father and the Father, maybe the Father of my family too. Let's include them there. But He's the God and the Father of all, even those people that I don't agree with. And we forget that. I have never seen the church so divided politically as it is now. with extreme right and extreme left. And I got to tell you, I want to base myself on Jesus' values. And what did they ask him? They asked him not only for the Lord's Prayer, they also asked him, what's the greatest commandment? And he goes, oh, that's, you know, love God. How do you love God? Heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then he said something else that I don't like a lot. What is it? Love your neighbor? No, that's not it. I don't want it to be it. You know why? If you can't say amen, say ay or ouch or something. In Spanish, it's ay, but you have to hold your back when you do that. Ay, like that, okay? You know what? We don't really want to care for our neighbor. Our neighbor takes our time. He takes our money. He takes our care. I don't have any of that to give anyone. But yet, part of having fellowship. This is why we're here on Sunday. We're not listening to old Joel Osteen on TV, because God also wants us to have fellowship with one another. Nothing against Joel Osteen. And nothing for Joel Osteen. Are we willing to bless our community? Well, I think that's evident here. Are we distracted though? Huh. You know, blasphemy and lack of orthodoxy is not what the church is in right now. That's not the sin of the church. The sin is that we're distracted. I have never seen anything so distracting as this. I see people driving and checking their text messages. And they're driving off the rail. I have never seen something that has pulled us closer together to the people that are far away from us and made us far away from the people that are close to us. So in my house, with my children, there were no cell phones allowed on the table. So mean, right? I wanted to know what my kids were up to. I wanted to talk to them. They were all doing that. Are we distracted, God's people? Some people are distracted with technology. Some people are distracted with politics. And others, listen, you may be distracted with ungodly relationships. God wants to use you, but you're not in a place where God can. And that hole that you've been having in your life for a long time, God wants to fill, but He won't do that unless you surrender. Unless you change your mind about sin. Go on to the next one, please. We're doing something really spectacular this year, starting next month. The Lead Initiative is kicking off. What we want to do is we want to invest in local lay leaders. We want to do that in all 7 districts of the Central Conference at no cost to any of the leaders. When it comes your way, go. If you are a leader, you should definitely go. If you want to be a leader, you should definitely go. If you don't think you're a leader, but you want to see how God can use you, you go anyway, because the more you know, the better you are. You will get some resources that are really amazing. The Evangelical Covenant Church has some really great resources that we're not taking advantage of. Go on to the next one. And of course, church planting. Our goal this for my first 4 years has been to plant 20 churches without any money. God has provided miraculously with Mario, Patty, Rafael, and Drina Lizama, who are planting in Elgin. It will be our 4th church plant to date. 4, when we were in the hole rather than having money for church plant. We haven't planted churches because we just haven't been able to. Since 2008, our economy just took a turn for the worse. It's been difficult to do that. Churches had to cut down. And by the way, without you, we can't do any of this. Without your partnership, we cannot do any of these things. So this is why it's important for you to know who we are. Go on to the last one. Invest in the land. Build houses. Settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increasing number there did not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. I am very grateful to you, and I'm also very proud of Broadway Covenant, not only for partnering financially to establish a brand new church in the Rockford area, but because you have believed that God can do good things in the Latino community. You're going against the grain. Some people don't care for Latinos. Some people have given us a bad name. Some of their own Latinos have given us a bad name. And some of us assign us bad roles. I came here when I was 13. And I'm very happy that I'm an American. I'm very happy that I was embraced. I was able to go to school here. I was able to become a pastor for over 25 years now. And I get to be the first Latino superintendent in our denomination. The first one. And the Central Conference made that happen. We also did the same thing with our first African-American superintendent before me, the person I've succeeded, Jerome Nelson. Broadway will have great opportunities for service. We'll talk about those downstairs. You will have an opportunity to invest in people that you may not know. I can tell you for a fact, you're going to get a lot more hugs than you're used to. Some of you got really serious right now. Oh, God. They're going to violate my bubble, my space. But God is calling Broadway to grow. I'm calling it out right here. God is calling Broadway to grow, to enlarge its territory, to open its doors, even though you don't close the doors, to open its doors officially for the whole community, for it to come in and join and be a part of that too. If you do that, God's people, God will bring people that you would never thought would come to church. Most people think that we need to be evangelists to bring people to church. We don't have to do that. We just have to tell people why we love Jesus. That's it. Does anybody love Jesus here? Can I see a show of hands? All right. Would you mind telling someone that? My prayer for you this week is that God will set up 5 people for you to do that. One story, Pastor, and I'm done. I was in an airport somewhere. I don't remember where I was. And I was waiting for a flight, and I was typing a letter of recommendation for one of our pastors. And there was this woman that was yelling at her phone, through her phone, whatever adjective that is. And so I put my headphones on. The seat next to her was the only one that was available in the whole airport close by. So I'm typing, but then I take him off because he was just unbearable. She was just screaming. So I started listening to the conversation, and she was talking to Sue, her brother on the other line, and she apparently thought that he had called to say goodbye, that he was killing himself. I don't want to get involved in this. I'm tired. I'm about to go on an airline, probably in the middle seat. She hung up the phone. She started to cry, and then she calls her dad, who apparently she had not talked to in a long time, and goes, "Dad, I know you and I have a lot of things to work out, but your son has got to kill himself. Please go get them." And when she hung up, she cried bitterly. I don't remember someone crying so bitterly in a while. So, as an American, I wanted just to give her some space because she needs to process her feelings. There's no hole in the back here, right? Okay, good. So I'm going to process something else. But as a pastor, I put my hand on her shoulder and I go, "I'm a pastor. And I would like to pray for your brother." She threw herself at me. I wasn't expecting that. I almost fell over with her. And she cried bitterly for a while. And we prayed together. Now, what I'm going to tell you is not a big deal. But I'm going to tell it to you this way so that you can see. God thought enough of this young woman that he sent her the superintendent of the Central Conference to pray for her. The good thing is that you don't have to be the superintendent of the Central Conference to pray for anyone. How many opportunities are we missing out in our community because you just are too distracted? Because you don't have ears to hear and eyes to see. The needs here are very, very, as anywhere else, there's a lot of people that need Jesus, and they're counting on you to tell this story. Can we pray? Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters, and Father, I would like to ask you to set up 5 divine appointments to each person this week, that they may be able to tell someone why they love you. Would you do that for them, please? Would you open up their ears so they can hear, open up their eyes so they can see? Father, you love Broadway, and thank you for this church. I pray that you will bless it, not only financially, but with lots more people. Not because the number is important, but because we want to reach more people for Christ. May you bless them in ways they never imagined through this new church plant. I bless them in the name of Jesus. God's people say,